Breakfast with Dan Glover on ABC Western Victoria.
Good morning. Good to be with you. We've been speaking a lot about the state budget that was released a couple of days ago, but next week we'll see the federal budget. The federal member for Mallee, Andrew Broad, was travelling through the region yesterday, and I caught up with him to find out what you can expect for Western Victoria in next week's budget.
And I think it's going to be a very tough week. There's no doubt that, and I'm not going to attribute blame here, but there's no doubt that as a country, we have been spending more money than we have been getting in tax revenue, and we need to close that gap somewhat. I don't think there will be great licks of money that will be given away, but what I am going to be very much looking at the detail in this budget is what is the small services, what are the small things that build community, deliver good health in regional Australia and to ensure that they're maintained.
So what are those things?
Well, I think even today, I've been meeting with Wimmera Hearing Society, meeting with Anglicare, meeting with Grampians Community Health, things like men's sheds. So some of those trickle-down projects that, you know, $20,000 here, $10,000 there, $200,000 in different places, they're things that build communities. They're things that are preventative health. Because it's easy for a government to fund the emergency ward, but it's more difficult when you're at a tight budget for them to fund things that make you eat the right food and look after your health.
We've been speaking to some extent with the state budget about the Centre for Farm and Mental Health in Hamilton. People were hoping for more money from the state government. Is there any chance the federal government can contribute to that?
Well, I've always been a big supporter of the National Centre for Farm and Health. I think it does a good job. I have been doing some lobbying in the federal parliament for some money for that, and I've been in contact with Sue Brumby. What the state government has said, and rightfully so, is that they've got money allocated for the National Centre for Farmer Health, provided that the federal government contributes. And it is a National Centre for Farmer Health. So there's been a letter that was gone to Peter Dutton, and it was signed by quite a few regional-based MPs. Dan Tehan was one of those, as well as myself, as well as Mark Colton. And I don't know whether there's money allocated in the budget, but that'll be something I'm looking for and hope that there is.
You mentioned you think it's going to be a tough budget. How will it be tough on Western Victoria?
Well, I think there's no newer big licks of appropriation of funds. And at least fortunately for us, the duplication of the Western Highway has got enough pre-allocated funds for that work to continue until mid-2015. So at least that's something we can push for before the budget next year. But we're going to make it more difficult for people who are not working. We're going to make sure that they'll have to work for the dole to lift their skills. We're going to have to rein in some of our expenditure. I think there's been a lot of things flagged that are creating some nervousness as a result of the Commission of Audit, and I don't support some of those. But
what are the things you don't support?
Well, I certainly don't support the increase to the aid pension. What we need to do with that one is make sure we can create a working environment for 65 to 70-year-olds and reward them, because at the moment we haven't got the job market for that older demographic, and all we're simply doing would be taking people off the pension and putting them on the dole, and I don't think that's the way to address it. But that's you know, in the forward projections, and that's not about to be implemented in the very short term anyway. But I think the challenge for us is, you know, what are the key things that drive an economy? And agriculture is going to be one of those. I've fought very hard to retain the diesel fuel rebate, and I'm very confident that we will retain that. So I think that'll be a relief to a lot of people involved in the agricultural sector. But what are the things that grow our communities and grow our industry? And we have to make sure we don't see cuts to those as part of a way of trying to rein in our expenditure.
What do you think of the paid parental leave scheme?
Look, I'm dragging my feet a little bit on it. I can see value in it, given that it has had some significant haircuts from where it was originally going to be. I can see value in it on the grounds of, in a full employment environment, we want women to be able to re-enter the workforce, and we want Australian women having Australian children. That said, there does need to be work around the equity of it, where the average wages around the western part of Victoria are lower than some of our cities. So if we're going to have an appropriation of taxpayers' dollars going towards something, there needs to be some equity, and I think a child is worth the same wherever they're born.
There was some talk about it being set at $150,000. That would be the maximum income that a woman could receive under that paid parental leave scheme. I guess the other side of that spectrum is that you'd make it minimum wage. It's all about how generous you are. Where would you put that line?
Well, I know the Prime Minister has now dropped that to $100,000, so that does bring it down. What I'll be looking for is the family farmer's wife who's working within the business but is not technically receiving employment, or the small business person. I'll be looking at where it fits in regional Victoria. I've actually got a conversation I've got with the Prime Minister. Possibly we're still trying to lock down a date, possibly in budget week, just him and I. But one of the things I am very concerned about is the additional cost of our students accessing higher education in the country regions. So perhaps if there was some... Every government's going to spend some money. There are some policies that are worth supporting. Perhaps if he wants that to be his signature policy, I'll be pushing back and saying, well, where's the equity argument for country Australia? And that's a meeting that the Prime Minister and I'll have.
And so do you mean scholarships or support money for students to get out of the regional areas to get to the city to study, or do you mean TAFEs and ag colleges in rural areas?
Well, look, the National Party went to the election saying we have an aspirational aim of when a student is going to shift to the city or more than 150 kilometres to a geographical area to study, that there should be recognition that they can't live at home. They can't hop on public transport and catch my key, and this puts more burden on regional-based families. And we were talking about a $20,000 expenditure on that. I think that's something we need to continue to progress through the Parliament. However, we're very conscious that at this point in our economy, we have to fund our health care, we have to fund our educational opportunities, we have to fund our aged care and our roads. And I think the core things that are important for our economy to function will be what we will be focusing on in this budget. But we still need to have the conversations about what we're going to do, because things will turn around and we will get the economy spinning again.
It's 20 to 9 here on 594 ABC Western Victoria. And you're hearing from Andrew Broad about what you can expect in next week's federal budget for Western Victoria. So you mentioned that it might be a tough budget. One thing people are talking about is the idea of a debt levy or a tax to rein in Australia's federal government debt. What do you think about that?
Well, I have some sympathy for it, and I don't know what will be the outworking of this, but, I mean, let's be clear on it. Any time the government takes money out of your pocket to spend, you can call it a levy, but it's a tax. I mean, that's what tax is. So I think there's no point mincing the words there. However, it's only on earned money, and I'm only hearing what I'm reading in the paper, on money you earn over above $80,000, and then it kicks in a bit higher once you get to $180,000. Now, if we're going to repay our debt and get our economy back on track, the level of burden needs to be spread equally. And if you think about some of the additional costs that our lower social economic earning capacity people will pay, as opposed to those who sit in the higher echelons in our pay bracket, this may be the only way that they can pay their contribution. And I think it wouldn't be... So it actually becomes an equity argument. And really, most people in my electorate won't be needing to pay that anyway, because they're in a different pay bracket. So I don't know whether the government will go forward on it. And I don't subscribe to the commentary that I'm hearing in the paper that, you know, you said before the election and you weren't going to do this and you weren't going to do that. What I said as a candidate was, we are inheriting a mess. We're spending more than we're earning. We've got some major challenges, and we'll have to address those challenges. And I think I've been consistent as a federal member in saying that all the way through from when I first began campaigning.
Some financial commentators, though, are a little bit confused about the debt levy concept. I mean, last week, Bloomberg, the financial publication in response to the Commission of Audit findings, they're a bit confused, saying the Australian government is planning this possible levy, big spending cuts, to rein in what is the second lowest level of debt in the developed world. So the question is a tough budget needed? Do we need to rein in our debt?
Well, I mean, that is the question. I mean, people will, you know, legitimately say, well, the sky's not falling in and our borrowings relative to some aren't as good as and as bad as they'll make out. But, I mean, I've been in small business for a long time and I understand economics, and we need to maintain a level of confidence. But at the end of the day, we're not even talking about running a balanced budget. What we're talking about is closing the gap so that we'll actually have less borrowings, accumulated borrowings, than what we would have if we didn't close the gap. So essentially what we're trying to do is marry up the amount of money we get in tax revenue with the amount of cost. Now, the challenge for us is this, though. If I've got a little bit of time to indulge you, when the Howard government came into power in 1996, they had a $91 billion debt and a $400 billion economy. Now, at the end of the Howard era, they'd paid down the debt, but what had actually happened was they'd grown the economy to a $1 trillion economy. So we need to find the balance. We need to look at growth. So if we can grow the economy substantially, the debt that we've got relative to the size of the economy becomes quite small. And that's where we've got to focus, and that's why things like maintaining investment in research and development, by maintaining the diesel fuel rebate, by driving, you know, our small businesses and our agricultural businesses, that's the best way we can have to grow the economy, and ultimately that makes our debt look small in comparison.
So Australia's mining industry is to some extent winding down. Where is that growth for Australia?
Well, I don't think Australia's mining industry is winding down. We've gone less of the exploration and development stage and now to the export stage. I still have a strong preference that wealth that belongs to the Commonwealth, the common people, needs to be more equally shared. I think there should be preferential pricing for gas for Australians. I think there's something that we should be playing in that area, and some in the free marketeer liberals are abhorrent of that view. But why shouldn't our industry have access to cheaper electricity on the back of natural gas? And why shouldn't we look at reconfiguring our trucking fleet on the back of natural gas, and that would actually reduce our freight costs? So there's some things that we should be doing that I'm hoping to put on the agenda in the coming years.
Well, we'll look to the budget next week, but thanks for speaking to us this morning.
It's good to be here.
Andrew Broad, member for Mallee. It's 9:15. Dan Glover with you on 594.